down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into a special edition of Floor is Yours here on the Five Reasons.
He win! Sorry, wrong show.
No, this is just customary for you. You got to go back into character. we're going to do this a little bit differently tonight. No sponsors on this show. We do have a charity that we're going to be promoting here tonight. Giancarlo is going to tell you a little bit about this in a second. But no sponsors. We're just going to roll through this thing. We expected to have seven people here. We're going to talk about the seventh person incessantly until he arrives. But I want to introduce everybody who is here. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. Up on the top row here, we've got Greg Sylvander, also from Five on the Floor, and Brady Hawk, who you can follow at BradyHawk305. We've got on the bottom row here, on the right side, Giancarlo Navis. You can follow him at GNavis103, although I'm not sure he spells his Twitter handle correctly. We've got Alphonse Sidney in the middle. You remember him because he used to host here on this channel, Alf954. And we've got Tiffany Meeks. At some point, we may or may not have Alex Toledo, but until he does, his ears are going to burn. This is the way that we're going to do this tonight. Giancarlo, why don't you start here? Tell everybody about the charity here and all of the Super Chat money, 100% of it tonight. And you guys know how to do that. 100% of it tonight is going to go to this charity. Okay, no sponsors, nothing else. G, tell them about it.
So tonight's for One Pulse Foundation. If you guys don't remember, back a couple of years ago, there was a shooting at an Orlando gay nightclub. It was one of the most horrible days in our country. It was brutal. And One Pulse Foundation is founded by the owner of the nightclub that no longer exists. It's a historic site now, and it's to establish a sanctuary and to help LGBTQ. The LGBT community and all that. And we've worked with them in the past. Last year, we raised a ton of money for Pride, them and another organization. They're great. It's a Florida, you know, especially now, I think more than ever, you know, with leadership in Florida, I think that, you know, every dollar that we spend to help our community, especially gay, lesbian, transgender, non-binary, our brothers, sisters, and all, I think that goes a long way. So that's what tonight's about. Thank you to Ethan for letting this happen. Ethan just like, hey, you want to do like a charity thing? Like, you know, I was like, I would love to. Yes. So shout out to Ethan for I didn't even think of that. It was all his idea. So thank you for helping platform. I think an important thing at a very important time, especially in Florida.
All right. So all of the Super Chat money. Oh my God. Hold on a second.
Oh,
all of the Super Chat money comes here. 703 on the dot. Alex Toledo has joined us from Tropical Blanket. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Here's how we're going to do this tonight.
Wait, whose team is he on?
I don't know. We'll have to decide. Have to sub in here. All right. So G and I have prepared 10 topics. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to rotate who introduces the topic. I'll go first, then G will go after that. I have to start by asking a Miami Heat beat person first. G will start by asking one of the Five on the Floor crew also. We don't want this thing to go 3 hours, so we'll try to keep it quick here. But that's the way we're going to do this. So we're going to start with a couple of basic topics. The most obvious one on everybody's mind right now. I'll start with Tiffany on this one. Who do you want the Heat to face in the first round?
I'm going to go with the Hawks. Do you want to know why? Are we expounding upon it? Okay. honestly, I think that I'd actually rather see Trey out there than see Jared Allen healthy in the middle. I'll be completely honest. I think if Trey's going to do what he's going to do, he's going to take a bunch of long jumpers. He's going to try to get into the paint. So if you can kind of funnel him and keep him honest, you're going to beat that team. I think the difference with the Cavs is, you know, they've got a super strong physically point guard who can get you into the middle. And if Jared Allen is semi-healthy, he's shutting down what's happening in the paint. So I don't want to see any of that length right now, especially not in the first round. I want our guys to get in there and get out. So I'm going to roll with the Hawks.
Greg?
Couldn't agree more. I mean, this is another moment where you should just edit everything I'm about to say and just put Tiffany's statement there. And that's exactly how I feel. But I guess I'll remind everyone about Cleveland that there was a couple moments in December where I know there were some weirdos that tweeted stuff about Cleveland being a horrible matchup because of their length. Well, there's a little bit of truth to some of that, I guess. And it's a lot easier to game plan for one guy. I think inevitably Jimmy would end up on Trey. It's just an easier matchup. It's simpler to beat one guy. So there's no doubt Atlanta is who we'd rather see.
All right. And I want to remind everybody, the Super Chat stuff, if you guys want to hit that, that's all going to One Pulse tonight. So make sure that you do that. All right. Well, we'll throw one more here in the mix. Alex, go ahead. Who do you like in the first round series?
I'm with them too, man. I think I'd rather, you know, play the Hawks if I'm the Heat, especially, you know, with kind of the availability question with John Collins going on. Like, I think with for every reason they said, it's like you have guys that you.
Did Alex freeze?
Classic. Classic.
Classic. It's just perfect. That's the universe at work right there, yo. For real.
Giancarlo, your turn. Question two.
Oh my God. I want to start with my man Brady, who I'm really excited. I requested Brady. I'm really excited to meet him. Brady, on the other side of the bracket, I think it's pretty interesting. Miami positioned themselves to avoid both the Celtics and the Bucks until the conference finals and the Nets for that matter. Who is your preferred opponent in that on that side of the bracket? Like a Nets team that makes a conference finals that's rolling, would you rather play them over the Bucks or like even the Celtics? Where do you stand on that?
So we're excluding the Bulls, right? Because they technically they're on
have
that
they
side
ever of- beaten a good team? I don't know.
I mean, technically they're on that bracket, so I was gonna give the easy answer out, but I'll still say I think Milwaukee's dead last. Like I still am say that I don't think you'd want to play them. It depends between Brooklyn and Boston, but I think I'd say you want to play Brooklyn. Like I'm still not on the Brooklyn wave anyway. Like I still felt like, yeah, they can get, you know, a win and a play in and get to the seven. There were people that were worried about them getting to the eight and beating Miami, but there were also people worried about them losing in a play in and falling to eight. So like they're not this complete powerhouse that everybody's just like going to just push them forward, that if they were to get hot, they still have two guys. They don't have a lot of, you know, depth. So I feel like that would be the preferred matchup. It's just not the first round matchup.
You're not worried about Ben Simmons possibly joining them in game three?
Definitely not. they could put Struce, Tyler, Duncan on him at all times, and they don't have a guy to hunt. So, I mean, that's pretty ideal.
Finally, somewhere to put the Tres Leches. Alf, what about you?
I agree with Brady. There's way too much agreement going on.
That's true.
So it's like when we have Sedano on now. He's become agreeable in old age.
I just start yelling at everybody. No, I agree with Brady, and because whenever Spoelstra has somebody to key in on, and in that series, he's going to be able to key in on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. He is just a master at taking guys out of the game and making the other guys beat you. And we saw like the Bucks have other guys that can beat you that are championship tested. The Celtics have other guys that can beat you that have been deep into the playoffs before. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets, outside of Kyrie and Kevin Durant, that team is trash. Like, there's just a lot of garbage up and down that lineup. Like, I like Bruce Brown. He's fun. Seth Curry, it can be dangerous, but we saw one of the biggest games he's ever played in. He was rough. Andre Drummond. I'm trying to say Andre Drummond without laughing, and I couldn't. But Andre Drummond, maybe Ben Simmons. Like, we've seen Ben Simmons in big games. So I don't think if the Nets get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're playing great. They're super hot. But out of those three teams, especially if Robert Williams looks good in that second round, if they make it that far, yeah, I don't want to play the Nets. I mean, I'd rather play the Nets out of all three.
Can I push a narrative? By the way, Pusha T's album's about to drop, so I could be pushing narrative today. Think about it this way, though, y'all. If we're talking about Brooklyn in the conference finals, that means that they just beat Boston, and then
without Robert Williams,
and then beat Milwaukee. Correct?
Yeah.
Am I tracking correctly? So yeah. you're not talking about a Brooklyn team that's in the same place mentally as they would be if they were to advance that far. So I think that it does make it a little more complicated of a decision than just saying Boston.
But the first round series against Boston, I think Boston could be in trouble, because if Robert Williams can't come back to the second round, their defense is not as daunting. I know they have DPOY, Marcus Smart, eye roll. if they don't have Robert Williams, that could be where the Nets, you know, they steal a first round series. And you never know with Brook Lopez's health, how, you know, what the Bucks are going to look like in the second round. So I could see them getting to the conference finals and still not being that scary.
All right, we're going to get to some fan stuff here.
Wait a second. Hold on. Ethan, where's your earphone cords? Like, what's happening?
I'm actually on my computer this time. I'm using my mic. This is special for you. Look at this.
What is happening?
Production.
You cleaned yourself up.
Overnight. People were wondering how I took like good video of Max Strus the other day. It's because my daughter wiped off the camera lens finally. She showed me how to do that. All right, let's get to the next one. And again, anybody wants to throw in the super chat stuff, that's going to Pulse, to our charity One Pulse tonight. So make sure that you jump in and do that. All right, fan stuff, because I know this is what everybody wants to get to. There is a perception out there that the national media hates the Heat. Today, Jay Williams gave another of his completely uninformed takes. We've seen these over the years. We got G doing the Camby there. But G and I were discussing this. At times, it seems like Heat fans are harder on the Heat than even the national media is. Like, I'll start with Eric Spoelstra, who for years, critical of Spo's rotations, etc. And it feels to me a little bit like some of the national media perception has stemmed from Heat fans giving the national media, which doesn't study, so they don't know any better, narratives that they run with. I'm gonna start with Alf on this one, because I feel like you might have views. First thing is, the national media, do they hate the Heat? Are they just uninformed about the Heat? Are they just stupid? Or are Heat fans playing into this?
They're uninformed. there's, you know, for the most part this season, there hasn't been much drama. There haven't been narratives. The Heat just went out there every night, took care of business. Like, you know, it's just like the regular news. Like, positivity, it does not sell, right? So talking about a bunch of undrafted guys, you know, beating the Phoenix Suns by 25 points in Phoenix, that, you know, that could be a fun story. But, I mean, what is, you know, Stephen A. Smith and Mad Dog going to argue about? Like, there's no argument. There's no debate there. So, I mean, the entire culture around sports media is all debate-driven. And there haven't been that many debates when it comes to the Heat this year. Finally, they got some, a little bit of coverage after, you know, they were about to kill each other on the bench. But once that blew over, they go on a 6-game winning streak, crickets, right? So I don't think that they hate the Heat. I think there are couple salty people out there that probably had some run-ins with Heat Twitter, John Hollinger, and they've never really gotten over it. He's also a gambling addict, and we probably lost him some money over the years. But beyond that, I don't think there's an agenda.
Al's going to get us sued. You're not on the channel for 10 minutes.
Oh, listen, come find me. I don't think they have a personal agenda against the Heat. I just think it's just not fun to talk about, and they don't watch games. They watch narratives. So if you're not watching the Heat play and there's no narratives, they don't know what to talk about.
Alex, no narratives. We made it through the whole damn season making podcasts with no narratives, Ethan. Look at that.
Magician.
Alex, I'll go to you on this. Is it ignorance? Is it what is it? Because, I mean, Jay Williams' take today was completely ridiculous, but they all seem to be.
Yeah, no, the idea that the Hawks are going to upset the Heat is absolutely insane. I would dare to say an abomination of a take.
Yes.
Since we're doing the crossover. But no, really, like, it's just that's something where it's like, I'm not even going to give credence to that take. That's how insane and ridiculous I think it is. As far as the national media not liking the Heat, I don't know what it is. But, like, for example, before, you know, I was right on time for this show, I was listening to one of the Ringer pods where my guy, I haven't even gone to it yet, so I think it's a little early. But, you know, the Ringer show was talking about how they kind of don't take the Heat seriously. And they're thinking of, like, the Sixers having the easy path to the conference finals, and how some of these guys would be disappointed if the Sixers don't get there because they got the path that they would want. And I'm, you know, like, I feel like I hear that all the time when I listen to different pods. And it's just like, you know, at some point you just got to let it play out, because I really don't get it.
Tiffany, what do you think it is?
Oh, it's what UD said. They're not sexy. Nobody's dropping 60. Nobody's giving you massive triple doubles. You know, nobody's out all night at the booby bars.
Best player can't shoot.
Right. Like, what are you going to do? Like, nobody's trying to get wings and strippers. Like, we don't have any of that happening. All we got is winning. That's it. That's literally, that's all we got.
Taking charges.
That's it.
Boring.
Taking charges is not sexy.
And the other thing that's funny, it's talking about kind of taking narratives. Heat fans and people in general would talk about clutch offense, and they talk about Jimmy down the stretch. Now you're hearing them take that take and expand on it where, okay, Jimmy's not a clutch player. Right. We never said Jimmy wasn't a clutch player. Like, that was never the take. It was that he didn't have spacing in the half court to kind of create offense, or they didn't know which guy to go to. But this idea that now, okay, we're shifting everything, that we don't trust the Heat because Jimmy's not clutch. No, you didn't trust the Heat before because they didn't have the right lineups and weren't running the right sets. Like, it's just weird. That's the type of uninformed stuff.
But Brady, isn't that the fact that that's complicated and these people are lazy? Mm-hmm. Like they're not actually watching the team. But you're right. That's what G and I were talking about before when we decided to do this topic, because it's, I do feel like they're just looking on like Heat Twitter and, okay, they're talking about this, so let's just go off on this. And like the Butler thing is a perfect example. Like, people outside of Miami don't think Kyle Lowry's had a good year, because they just look at the numbers. And, you know, we said 13-8 before the season. You know what he finished at? 13-8. And he made everybody else better. He fulfilled his role. But if you look outside, he didn't have a good year. Okay. Because he didn't average 18. He didn't average 20. And I do feel, though, some of that comes in every time the Heat lose. There's this echo chamber here that I think then gets radiated out. And when they decide, they do a little bit of research, they just look on Twitter. That's all they do. They don't watch the games. That's what they come up with. All right. The next topic, this one is sponsored by our friend Hot Take Harry. Go with this one.
Shout out to Hot Take Harry. All right. Do Heat fans want to win, or do they want to be right? I'm going to start with my brother Leif, because I feel like a lot of fans out here just want to be right, and it's a little annoying sometimes.
Well, this is like you throwing me an alley.
No, not you, because I feel agree on this.
Because
they said that. Said that on a recent show, I think.
I know. That's why I'm throwing it away.
Very strongly about this. I think in general, it's human nature to just rather be right. You think that being right is going to make you happy, so that's why you try to be right. And that extends way beyond Miami Heat basketball. But no, they would rather be right. I honestly believe but that's part of being a fan, is that you want to act like you know it all, and then when it comes true, you want to slam dunk on that. Like, I don't know, I guess it's hard for me to necessarily pin people to hold people down about it. Like, it's not right, but I'm not gonna go off on anybody, if that's what you're trying to get
no
me.
Play the rant.
That's
music.
Alex's job. That's Alex's job. He needs to hold people accountable.
Yeah. No, it's just essentially human nature. They want to be right.
Alf.
I agree with the Leif to an extent. Like, he said that it's part of being a fan. This wasn't part of being a fan before Twitter came around. Like, everybody thinks they're an analyst. Everyone has their hot takes, and they're like, and they feel like, oh, if I put out this take, I have to stick to it, or, you know, people are going to hold me accountable, like, you know, Alex. But nobody cares about your take. Like, it's okay to be wrong. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, people are like, oh, I told you. Like, I swear, when he went on the 4-game losing streak, I had to just block and mute 1,000 Twitter followers, because I told you so. I told you so.
Including Hot Take Harry.
But it was like, I don't care. Who cares if you told me so? I told you, Jimmy. But oh wow, I guess the front office should do something different, because such and such Heat fan 86 on Twitter said Jimmy can't close games. Like, what do you want? Like, what do you want from me?
You know, Andy's scrolling through it, Alf.
305 Wade. Oh yeah,
they're making decisions based on these hot takes from Twitter people. You're not an analyst. You're a fan. Like, just calm the hell down. Nobody cares about your takes.
Could we put up that Derek Singer? We appreciate the donation, Derek. And again, all of this is going to charity tonight. People want to be smart and right. And of course, I've been saying this for years, which we know the gag on that.
Well done. You can't be happy and right. Pick one, but you can't be both.
So we appreciate. Well, there are about five people on Twitter who hate Duncan Robinson more than they hate anything in society. And it does not matter if the Heat win or lose. It makes no difference. The first comment under every like Brady, you or Alex could be posting videos from down at the arena, and literally the first comment is Duncan Robinson sucks. I mean, it could be about nothing to do with Duncan Robinson.
It's taken over Yurtseven. It's completely taken over.
Well, that was me with Yurtseven.
Brady, are you on your island?
How many did Alf start of these? Let's go through them.
Alf wanted to be right about that one. All right, so let's get to the next one again. We appreciate the donations. I feel like I should start with Greg on this one, but I'm going to go to Alex, actually. Well, you know what? Let me go to G, because we got a cross talk. I'm going to throw this one at G. As somebody who's been involved with Heat Beat for 10 years. Has transaction talk, in your view, surpassed game talk to the point that people just care about the transaction now? And how much is that affecting the discourse?
Oh, I think easily. And I think I'm glad that Brady's here, because I think Brady and Leif represent the two sides of this, right? Like, Brady is this really brilliant X's and O's guys, and Leif is an information peddler, right? Leif has good info. So do you, Ethan, and Brady's like that. And there's a blend of both, because to improve a team, you obviously need to make changes and there needs to be transactions. But also, we need to know what's going on the actual court to know which transactions are actually beneficial. And I think when you don't have both, you lose sight of it and you're just doing transactions. And I think when people, and I think most fans, I mean, why are most fans going to know what a double drag is or what inverted horns are, or like, they're not, you know, they don't know what an Iverson cut is, or they don't know what floppy is. It's not their job. You're just here to enjoy. But when you don't understand the nuances of the game, I think it's just easier to complain and default to change. It's like literally Karen walking into a Starbucks and like wanting like an employee change because their latte is messed up. Right, it's like if you don't understand what's going on. Of course, my camera goes out. As soon as
we're all playing our part.
They don't know plays, yeah. But they damn sure know all the mid-level rules and the trade exceptions. Yeah. And so, like, they can pay.
That's Googleable, Leif.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think the transaction talk is, you know, it's sexier. It's easier to talk about. It's great for social because you can make cool graphics of like a guy in a different jersey, and you get 100 retweets, and you're like, yeah, easy content. But I think we got to dial that back.
Alex, you do a little bit of both. So, I mean, no, I mean, you do. I mean, look, Olytic Richardson at a first round pick. I will always remember that because that's basically.
I made the graphic for that, Ethan.
I know. I was listening to that today. Brian, for some reason, linked me, and I was listening to that show from, you know, when all of us worked together. And, you know, when G called Josh Richardson a special player. Like, really Ethan, adamant. Remember? About Ethan, not trading Josh for Jimmy.
Ethan, do you remember at the watch party when Jay Rich stepped out of bounds and Alf yells out in the middle of Duffy's, glad we didn't trade him for Jimmy Butler?
Ranting for like 20 minutes about Jay Rich.
I remember the watch party that we were waiting on the draft lottery at Tap 42 in Miami, and Duncan Robinson sitting outside, and yes. We spent the whole night trying to get him to come in and hang out with us, which didn't happen. But Alex, I mean, do you think because I mean you and Brady do you know a ton of the in-game, the strategy stuff for us. Greg and I tend to be more narrative, you know, sort of big picture in that sense. I mean, do you think that the transaction talk has some say it's ruined the way that people watch the game?
I think it's a little bit of that and a little bit of, like, you know, first take culture has kind of just gotten all over basketball discourse in general, if you want to just get big picture. But as far as, like, transaction, that's always going to be, you know, the sexy thing, like you guys said. And I feel like we're going to get right back into it this summer when inevitably after the Jazz get eliminated in the first round and there's reports of Mitchell and Gobert not liking each other or whatever for the millionth time. You know, we're going to rehash this stuff. And again, when Bradley Beal is like non-committal to the Wizards, and we're going to keep doing this until something changes. And you know what, man? Like, that's part of the fun of sports, man. I think there's always it's a balance thing, right? Like, we got to just not be so annoying about it where you're yelling at other people that you don't even know on Twitter and, you know, commenting and just like trying to always have your opinion be more important than everybody else. Like, let's just have fun, man.
That's
let's
how I built my empire, Alex. Calm down. All right. Don't give away the
president
recipe,
can
baby.
Do that though.
You have your morning coffee and you yell at people on Twitter.
Mad, angry. Go ahead.
This segment is sponsored by Trilly's Photoshops. Tiffany, what do you think?
I don't really, I'll be honest, you very seldom see me in any of that. I don't care, honestly. Whatever's going to make the team better, I'm for it. Whatever they decide to do about the team, I'm for it. I don't care. As long as I get to look at Max Strus hit a couple of threes, I don't care what's happening. Yes, I'm here to push my Strus narrative. Yes, that's the only reason why I showed up, pushing that Strus narrative. But no, they know. I don't get involved. I don't care. I don't get involved with fans that often because I don't care. I really don't.
Leif, is that
I want. I want to. I want to clarify one thing. Some people in the chat are saying, "Alf, fan takes are just as valuable as analyst takes," and blah blah blah. Listen, it's fine to have your takes. My point is, nobody cares if you're right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in 2 weeks, if your take 2 weeks ago was right, nobody cares, bro. And if it was wrong, still nobody cares, bro. Like, no, you don't have to come out with some mea culpa because your tweet 3 weeks ago was inaccurate. Like, it's okay. Like, just watch the games, comment, talk shit, move on. Like, nobody's holding you to these takes. Sorry, go ahead, Leif.
No, but I hope they
tell that to the LaMarcus Aldridge tweet, damn it. Oh,
that's the weird, but see, that's the weirdo shit right. I'm talking about. Like, who cares?
I will
so
tell you.
I'm glad I didn't end up with LaMarcus Aldridge, by the way.
Oh, I spent welcome. That whole day. I remember I was in Atlanta defending Leif on that one. Okay, a guy is allowed to change his mind, isn't he? Like,
no,
we had the information. Like,
I was listening to an old episode.
Realized how often these guys change their minds.
A 2018 episode of Heat Beat, and Alex says he would trade Kemba Walker for Goran Dragic. Okay, like we're all wrong sometimes. It's okay. Sorry to bring that up.
I said I would trade Bam and 2 picks for Beal, like in 2017.
Well, people are reminding me in the comments that I was comparing Josh Richardson's numbers his first 4 years to Jimmy Butler, and yes, I did that.
I was right there with you, Ethan. That was you and me.
So there you go. I will say this, okay? The Heat, who do follow all of this coverage, okay? They said to me that they like the in-game analysis stuff, okay? But they said to me, well, when it gets to transaction season, though, you guys are like a bunch of kids on Ritalin. And that's kind of, I mean, I think they appreciate actually breaking down the game more so maybe than some of us trading everybody every time they don't do well. But I guess, Greg, to close the loop on this, shouldn't at a certain point Heat fans realize that they're in pretty good hands? Like kind of what Tiffany's saying, like they're in pretty good hands with this front office. Like this is not the Dolphins. This is not the Marlins. Okay. Trust them a little bit.
They built up that equity like that. If we're like your feelings can be your feelings and your opinions are your opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And the facts are that they have built up the equity to where, like, I'm not saying you can't be critical and that you shouldn't like comprehensively analyze what takes place because that's part of being a fan. Like, am I going to sit up here and act like I've been an analyst and a media member my whole life? I'm a damn fan. Like, come on. So like, there's just a part of it where, to Alf's point, the like, yep, like quoting your own tweet kind of stuff. And this is very Twitter centric. I'm not trying to be too inside baseball, but I think it's fans in general just want to kind of, you know, high five and butt slap when they get stuff right. And it's just a little ridiculous. I don't know. Like,
are there some Heat fans you think, again, we get back to the rather be right. Is it as far as there are some Heat fans who literally like will be happy if the Heat lose because Duncan Robinson misses a big three?
Yes. Sadly, no. I think so. I think so.
Is that like the morality test?
Well, no, there's going to be.
I feel like they wouldn't until, and I'll shut up after this. I know I'm hogging the mic. They wouldn't wish for it until the minute it happened. And then the minute it happened, they would flip the script and they would be like, right. Okay, now I want him to be traded.
Right.
No, because then they get to go on the I told you so parade.
But
There are Heat fans that are waiting for. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tiff.
Well, but there are Heat fans who like, okay, everybody knows Max is my dude. But I'll go on Twitter. Once Duncan gets hot, I'm on it. Duncan, you know, whatever. Like, you got to show love to the team. You can have your guy. Your guy could be whoever. But I catch strays from people that are like, oh, you hate Duncan. Da, 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 da. I don't hate Duncan. I hate anyone that misses. If you're missing, I'm hating you right now. If you're making it, I'm loving you because I'm a fan. And that's what fans do. But I don't purposely go on the internet and root for anyone's failure, because here's the reality. And I told Alf, and Alf knows I say this every night on the show. You need the first man on the seat to the last man on the seat. The Heat are going to need all these players. So why would you ultimately be rooting for Duncan's downfall when there's going to be a night that number's going to be called and we're going to need him to hit some crucial buckets? Like, for me, I can't understand why you would root for that.
Well, I think it's okay for fans to be frustrated with certain players who are not giving effort. Like the Hassan Whiteside thing to me, completely and totally understandable. Okay. And as a member of the media, I was part of it. As someone who supported them giving them the contract and bought into everything Hassan told me that he was going to work after he got it, I flipped because he wasn't putting in the work. But I don't think, and Brady, and I'll let you finish this topic. I don't think there's anybody on this roster that we've had to question effort with this season, right? Like, this is a hard playing group from top to bottom.
Definitely not. I just wanted to say that it's one thing to address a guy like Duncan or one of these other guys, but we're in April, like 2 days away from the playoffs starting. Right. And you're sitting there in the comments saying trade Duncan Robinson or trade this guy. That's not possible.
Trade Jimmy.
Like, the trade deadline was 2 months ago. Like, if we're having, we started this segment by saying transaction talk in X's and O's. There's a time for transaction talk. That's after the season ends. Like, the fact that you're having it after February, that just makes zero sense.
That's fair. All right. We want to mention again here tonight that all proceeds are going to One Pride. So make sure if you're doing the super chats, and we'll throw these comments up here. I see from Derek Singer, I was wrong about Okoro White being Chris Bosh light. That was probably wrong. Although he did lose with Okoro that whole season. So maybe he was.
He's making fun of me, Ethan. I had Evan Cohen on back when we worked together, and I told Evan Cohen that. And Evan Cohen has since never returned to the show.
Smart man.
That's probably fair. All right, make sure you guys are making those donations. We're gonna get those to One Pride tonight. All right, we're at the halfway point here. G, you're up.
All right, the most annoying fan base in the NBA. Ethan, I want to start with you, because, and we can't pick ourselves, because Heat fans, I think we rank pretty high up in the annoyingness. What would you say?
I would say, okay, there are a few. I kind of like the Toronto fan base. They're cute, you know. They're, you know, the whole Kyle Lowry thing and all that stuff. I don't have a problem with that. I hate all people.
That might be my pick.
I hate all people from Cleveland equally. So it's not really a fan base thing. It's just the city.
Is that racist?
I mean, most of the people I encountered
by virtue
were white,
of the population.
So I don't know what,
there, yes. Yeah,
that's Midwest way, Alex.
Hawks fans, no, come on, Twisted. Now there are
they
no
have
Hawks fans.
There
are no Hawks fans. Let's establish something first. There are no Magic fans. There are no Hawks fans. There are no Nets fans that live inside the state of New York. There's a whole bunch of these. Okay, that we could go through. There are no Washington Wizards fans. I've never met one. I've never saw one in the Washington Arena. I would say the most annoying fans in the NBA right now are the Los Angeles Lakers, because they are so fucking entitled. It's just beyond belief. I mean, we talk about Heat fans and photoshopping people and all the rest of this, but I mean, Laker fans, and I guess this, they are entitled to it to a certain degree because ESPN treats them like this, but they think literally it's like that old, you know, that mug you get with like the New Yorker's view of the world, where it's like, you can only see like the buildings and there's nothing else out there, you know, like Hawaii is out there in the background. Okay. Like, that's how the Lakers fans view the NBA. I would say, you know, Lakers or Celtics, for me, would be
Celtics.
1-2.
That's a good one.
And the Bucks fans are getting there. I don't understand.
Ethan picked every team.
Just won a championship and is so concerned.
Ethan did the Stugats.
Well, what did I do?
You picked every.
You picked
team.
All of them.
Yeah, I picked all of them. I'm going with Lakers fans first. That's where I'm going.
Leif.
Oh man.
I think there's one answer for us.
I really am not a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers in all ways, shapes, or form. And the fact that James Harden is now on that team is just the perfect fit for him. I hope he never leaves that organization, because it just it fuels everything inside of me to continue to not like them, root against them, laugh at them, and point at them while doing so. But I just have to say about the Toronto thing, there is this thing about Toronto fans where they are starting to act as if they are an organization that has had their shit together for the entire time that they have been an organization. And that is complete nonsense and bullshit. And they are not on that level yet. And they should not be placed on that level yet. They are not the Spurs. They are not the Heat. Stop it. And
can
that's
I push
all.
Back on that? A little bit.
You just really like can't. Just a, no, no, but no. I mean, you can okay. talk, but it's not valid.
I'm going to give my answer because I don't want you to talk about Toronto. I'm going to go off the board a little bit. It's the Denver Nuggets fans, okay? Because they are the weirdest. Thank you, Bray. Because after the whole Jokic thing, I've never seen so many weird white boy hikers with brown Asics, cargo shorts, shout out. You know, fleece vests and plaid shirts, like in my mansions, talk about don't start none, won't be none. Like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, you've never been in a fight in your life, except like with a grizzly bear. Like, shut up. Like, it's the weirdest fan base I've ever seen. I've never heard of them before. I've never seen them on my timeline. But Jokic pushed Markieff Morris, and these keyboard warriors came out of their caves. They were hiding in trees, building tree houses and shit. And like they came off of their mountains and they would just talk. It's don't start none, won't be none. You can't do like you can't do that in the streets. The streets of where? Boulder? Shut up. The worst. All right.
Show me what a Denver Nuggets fan looks like.
Like a prick in some brown Asics. That's what they look like.
All IPA drinkers.
Yes. Bunch of dudes in craft beer houses. Shut up.
Boulder's nice though, man. I like Boulder.
Well, it is nice. Just don't.
That sounds like Nets fans.
There are no Nets fans.
There's nice there retail stores in Denver.
I'm sure. Alex, I'm sure Denver is
Jack live there now.
Alex, you with Leif and I with the Sixers?
Oh yeah, that's an easy one. I cannot wait for the Heat Sixers second round. It's going to be incredible. The trio that they have of previous second round collapses between Doc, Harden, and Embiid. I mean, there's already like those problems like kind of coming up already for the Sixers. They already do not fuck with their coach. Tybalt's not gonna be the first whenever they're in Toronto. Like, I mean, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Doc has the bus driver hat on already. He's ready. Brady, I know you were gonna say something before.
I was thinking about golf.
Came in.
No, I was gonna say Nuggets and thought I was going off the board. I didn't think anybody was gonna be taking the Nuggets, but I didn't know, like he was saying, I had no idea they had fans. Like, I've never seen a Nuggets fan in my life. Like, I haven't had a long life, but when I'm out, I've never seen a Nuggets jersey in my life until that day.
Brady, I frequent Denver. I go multiple times a year. I never see Nuggets stuff. It's all Broncos, and I see more Rockies stuff. Than Nuggets. Like, those people just don't care.
A white guy pushed a black guy and they became fans quick.
I've never even seen a bio.
They're like, reparations.
All right,
my money in high school.
We're gonna switch subjects here again. Throw up some super chat here. We'll make sure
we have comments
before we close. Everything goes to one pulse tonight. All right, we're gonna try to do these a little bit quicker. These are player centric or coach executive centric. Okay, so we're gonna go into where we see these people in 3 years. Okay, in terms of where their game is, whether they're still with the Heat, etc. Okay, so 3 years out. First one here. I'll go to Tiffany on this one.
Trade talk.
No, it's well.
It's trade talk disguised.
Okay. Disguised. We're not it's Max. Ethan, come not on. One of the options here though.
Okay.
In 3 years. Where do you see Tyler Hero? His game in particular, but just where do you see him in his career? He'll be 25 years old.
On top of a model. Sorry.
Anyway.
Yeah, I love the awkward silence. It's super dope.
No, that's exactly what it deserved.
I honestly see him with the Heat. I actually see him as a starting two guard. He's probably hitting at around, I give him about 26-6-5 per game. He's put on a little bit more weight. Starting in the backcourt with Lonzo Ball.
Tell him.
Oh, there we go.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Hot take.
That's interesting.
I'll take it.
She said she didn't want transaction talk, that just threw that out there.
This is absolutely. How are they getting Lonzo? Greg, how are they making the contracts work?
Duncan Robinson actually is a perfect.
Okay,
oh,
no,
oh my God.
Brady, what is Tyler Hero in 3 years?
I'm pretty much right there. I'd say two-time All-Star I'd throw in there, because there's going to be 1 year where he gets snubbed for a Celtic probably. So it's probably around two. But yeah, I'd say he's around there. I think he's definitely the starting two guard. I think that starts next season. But I'm more interested in the other parts of his game, because we've seen it grow, I guess, already in every other part. But it's going to be the defensive stuff growing even more. It's going to be, where is the veterans on this team? Like, who else is on the team at this time? Like, is he the number one option? Like, that's the question for me. Like, is he the number one option on the Miami Heat? Because I think you'd want to say it's Bam. But I think Bam and Tyler are the future. Bam's the number one option on defense. Tyler's going to be the number one option on offense.
All right. Close the loop on this one. G.
I see him as a steady pick and roll diet kind of player. I think he's gone to the point where they run a lot of it. And I was wrong about the way he would create separation. I think the way that he leverages his shooting and his handle. Leif, you were right. I was wrong. He doesn't have like a quickness or a burst, but he's very good with the ball. He almost is like, not to compare them, but there's a little bit of like older Dwayne Wade in the way he slithers in pick and roll, and he knows exactly the spots he wants to get to, and he can really manipulate defenders. So I really see him being a higher volume pick and roll player. I don't know. I'm not going to predict a scoring number or anything, but I just think that, I mean, I think he'll be here. I think they'll pay him what it'll take. And I know that Ethan and Leif can probably speak more to this, but I really do think that the Heat learned from their mistakes with Dwayne. I think that they learned a lot of things during that period of time. And that's why I thought they gave Bam the deal, even though it compromised cap space. They don't want to mess around and make dudes unhappy. I think Andy is a really smart guy, and they're not going to make a younger generation of player upset and mess with their money. I think they're just going to pay the guys. He's going to be here. They're going to, suppose, going to give him more of the offense as Jimmy gets older or whatever. And it's exciting.
Sorry, it's a good answer.
Can he be the best offensive player on a championship team?
What's that, Greg?
Can he be the best offensive player on a championship team on this episode? I don't think first take.
I don't think, and I could be wrong about this, I don't think he'll ever shoot enough free throws to hub an offense like that.
G and, took the answer to the question seriously when Leif was making a joke.
I know.
It's a good answer, though. And he said the hub of the offense. That's like for the people who know about the X's and O's.
That's why, like, but Bam does. Bam doesn't even have the ball that much. And what is he at? Like seven or eight free throws a game? Like, he's just, that stuff is so critical to both your offense and your defense.
But
and
is
just,
Bam Yurt, though?
The Yurtle.
You know what? If you're going to ask a yurt question, you have to give us super chat.
Alf will answer your yurt questions for super chats.
I'm not going to talk about yurt for free. Fuck out of here.
Alf only does that on his OnlyFans. That's where that is. We'll all right.
The link was just in the chat if you missed it, by the way.
geez, since you talked about Bam, why don't you go to that one next?
Okay, so Brady, start with you, man. Where do you see Bam in 3 years?
I think he's the best defender in the NBA. And I think that'll be the difference, I guess, as we look at Ethan's wall, is if other people start to notice that he's the best defender in the NBA and not just us talking about it on the show. Like, I feel like that's the difference. I think they're going to form stuff around him a little bit more. As much as we talk about winning right now, and I know we're looking 3 years in the future, there still has to be that offensive jump in terms of just taking the ropes and taking the reins of the offense. So I think he's probably a three-time All-Star if I'm going along these lines. I think he's going to be up there. And it's just about, I think everybody will kind of notice by that time that he's kind of the best defender in the NBA, as long as Marcus Smart isn't still kicking.
It's really just, it's like Heat Twitter and Coop. And I like how I feel like the Heat just gave the reins to Coop on the BAM propaganda. It's like, Coop, you're very smart. Can you like be smart in public so we can draw some attention to this? And Coop has come out with the fire, man.
Gee, it would be nice if they allowed him to be available for a podcast.
Oh, trust me.
But that's a whole nother matter.
He was on StreamBeat, wasn't he?
They only got to talk about movies.
They don't count that.
Ethan, I joke with Jeremy Taché the other day.
That's movies.
Jimmy Butler's an easy.
He snuck into BAM talk. Don't tell him.
Going to give away the strategy or like, I don't.
G's right. Jimmy is easier to get.
You can get Jimmy quicker than you can get Cooper Moorhead. This is crazy.
Is this more trade talk?
Tiff, where do you see BAM in 3 years? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
I definitely think, I mean, he's still in Miami. The hub of the defense. Hopefully the newer, younger parts around him can do a little bit more on defense just to take some of that pressure off of his knees. Because, you know, going forward, that's going to be a question. Tendonitis doesn't just disappear, you know. So that's something I always think about. But hopefully he reaches another ceiling. I think Brady talked about it a little bit as far as with his offense. Because he's capable. Like, that's no question. And I think in 3 years, you're looking at a different team, probably a little bit younger, which is where they're going to have to go at some point. Like, we can't act like that's not happening. Which also gives Bam a little bit more room to work on a lot of the things that we know we've seen him do every now and then, as far as his offensive game, with his jumpers and his turnaround, his face-ups, all those things. He doesn't really have a lot of room to do a lot of that right now. So I think 3 years from now, we'll see like the expansion of his offense. I don't think he's going to be out there doing a lot of that switching and a lot of those things in 3 years. I think he'll probably be a little bit more closer to the basket, which is fine because you can still be dominant under the basket. Listen, I'm here for Tyler Bam running this team. I'm here for the next iteration of what this is going to be. I'm here for that two-man game. I'm here for them to honestly, you know, I'm not trying to be right, but I'm here for them to prove people wrong.
That's fair. And I think that's actually a good transition to the next topic, because I'm going to frame this question a little bit differently here, because in 3 years, the contracts of Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry will be up. Okay. So Alf, I'll go to you on this. Are we going to look back and say that those were good contracts? That in both cases, the Heat made the right decision to give Kyle 3 years and made the right decision to extend Jimmy the way that they did. We're going to look back at it in totality and say, yes, if you could do it, you would do it again.
Okay, are we as a collective going to? No. Because we are, because it's whatever they look like in their last month here on their three-year deal is going to color the entire thing. But in how I will look at it, no, of course it was the right thing to do. We complained last year about needing a point guard. They went out and got a point guard. And they did the right thing by that point guard and gave him 3 years. We wanted Jimmy Butler here so badly. He took us to a NBA Finals. After the shortest offseason in history, he scored less than Bryn Forbes. Yes, I heard you, Milwaukee Bucks Twitter. He scored less than Bryn Forbes. But what he has done for this team, he turned them from a joke into a competitor and now into an actual contender over the last few years. So whatever happens for the rest of this contract is, you know, it's worth it for what he's already brought to the table. So I don't think you can go back and do the whole hindsight is 2020 stuff, because you have to look at the contracts at the time and what and why you gave out those contracts. You want Jimmy Butler to be happy here. You want Kyle Lowry to be happy here. You want the rest of the NBA to look around and say the Miami Heat takes care of their guys, right? You know, they did everything to get Kyle there and they took care of him. They did everything to get Jimmy there and they took care of him. So the next group of free agents, trade prospects that come around can say, look how they took care of Jimmy. Look how they took care of Kyle.
Alex?
I mean, shout out to Kevin Landon in the comments, just preaching to the choir over here. I mean, just bringing up great points. I completely forgot what the question was.
The question was, when the contracts are up, Alex.
Like, we're gonna burn these topics for 3 years from now when we need the podcast.
We might.
We're just going to
Are we going to look back fondly at those contracts, Alex? That's the question.
No, I mean, look, I think it would have to be like more of what happened last season happening over and over again. I think it would have to be that bad. You know, you would have to be essentially like doing what the Sixers do every time they're in the playoffs for that to even be a real conversation. And I just mean like collapse and, you know, go out earlier than you're supposed to and are expected to, the way you're talked about by your fans and NBA fans. I'm sorry, man. I'm just I heard all the Sixers talk right before the show started. It got me heated up again. But really, like, I think it's that's not going to be a conversation. I think it's just going to be more frustration because they're going to be at the end of the deals. They're also going to be making the most money at the end of the deals. Like, what is Jimmy making on the last season? Like
$3 billion.
$48.7 million.
Yeah,
the GDP of a small country.
That's what you pay to win. You got to pay your guys, man. You got to pay the high level players to win, and you know everything else said because they took you from being.
And he still won't be able to afford a house in Miami, which is a sad part.
Or rent.
Yeah.
Or rent. All right, final one before we get to it. Just want to mention this. We're gonna do one more, and then after we're gonna take the first five questions that come in on the super chat. Okay, with everything coming in for one pulse. All right, so get the super chat questions lined up. Just Manny, hold on to for a second. Our producer, Manny Chang, we appreciate him doing this tonight, but, G, you go with the final question here from our group.
Final one. And I got to ask the one and only, where are Riley and Spoleif? What are they up to in 3 years?
Man, why you got to make me go down these roads? 3 years. So you're talking mid April of 2025.
How old are Spo's kids by that point?
So Spoelstra will still be coaching. I believe he'll still be coaching, but he will be more involved in the front office stuff than ever before. And I think that Pat will still be around, but probably in a more advisory role than ever before.
Officially or unofficially?
Unofficially. Titles will remain the same, I believe. And I think that Riley sticks around for the last build as the decks clear for 2026 free agency, et cetera. And that's going to be like, I've been saying this for a decade now about this last build with Riley stuff. So he's going to, you know, put egg on my face and be around for another 30 years. Knock on wood, but yeah, no, I still see both of them there. I don't think that necessarily, Riley's in a sweet spot where he has put so many people in place that make decisions very similar to the way that he would make decisions. And I think that that's going to play into him being able to stick around for a lot longer. He doesn't have to do the heavy lifting.
Leif, I'm going to ask you like a quick kind of revision to that. If they win the title this year, how does that change the math on that? Does he stay for the defense and then that's it?
That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
I mean, he told me in
2000. Ethan may know better than me. Well, Ethan will know better.
Actually, Greg and I are going to disagree on this one. Pat told me in 2015 that if he won a championship, that you wouldn't find him again. That he and he and Chris were going to be there, be in the south of France by the time that the champagne was dry. I actually think in 3 years, this came in on the comments. I think Eric Spoelstra is going to be in the front office. I think that would have happened sooner, but he got re-energized by the Butler build because, you know, the last two years of Whiteside, Spo was ready to move on to the front office. He's been on the road since I was on the road with that team, 1996. Okay. I mean, it's a long time. I mean, it's a grind. And I think if he can win a title or doesn't win a title, I think the other part of this is, we've seen a lot of coaches leave the Heat now that were kind of getting groomed to replace Spo, whether it was Juwan or Fizz or Dan Craig. And so I think that the way they've been promoting Chris Quinn lately,
there you go.
I think Spo may clear the way for Chris Quinn to take the reins. Pat moves into a Jerry West role. Spoelstra and Adam Simon and Andy Ellisberg run the organization.
Wasn't the fan base panicking about like coaches and executives leaving and shit?
Yes.
God, yes. We're so dumb. We're so stupid. Why
that's
should
why I'm
Manny
leaning.
Leaving?
That's why I'm leaning in the direction I am. But yo, truthfully, like I think that Quinny will be one that they will be very reluctant if he tries to get poached from another organization. Mm-hmm. That could make the things change in terms of decision making. To Ethan's point, like I don't think they want him to go particularly.
Yeah, and Pat's 77 years old. You know, I just think there's a certain point where, you know, he's got to clear the deck for Spo too, because I can tell you the stuff about Portland wanting Spo to be an executive last summer was real.
100%.
There's going to be another team that that does that. I do want to mention Super Chat here, and I'm going to let others answer the questions on this stuff. Okay, so Manny, I know we had one that came in. Anybody else has some Super Chat comments, put them in. This is all going to one pulse. We're going to take the first five if we get five before we close here.
Ethan, before you start, I really wanted to, as a last bookend to the thing, does Spo get ownership at this point? Because it could get dicey with him. Doesn't Riley have a little bit of ownership stake? Does Riley give that up when he leaves, and then Spo takes that, or maybe a bigger cut? That's something I've actually been wanting to ask you for a while.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I know
they're going
to
take care of Spo.
It's not easy to get an ownership stake. Just ask Dwayne.
That's true.
So
that's why I asked, because I mean,
UD might get one, but it's going to be discounted. He doesn't even have Dwayne's money. So
Riley does have it, though, right? Riley does have ownership, or am I incorrect about that?
He did initially.
He came. I couldn't 100% tell you that he still.
They would never make public if there was any transaction that has changed. But when he came, that was part of the package.
Mm. Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the comments. Line them up here. But just from the Super Chat, here we go. If the Heat's top three players just score their average, the team plays like they're a top three defensive team, they'll make the finals. FYI, forget about last year's playoff team. That roster was hot garbage. Tiffany, is that fair?
That's fair.
I mean, the Trevor Ariza power forward minutes didn't move you.
Man, I wanted Alf to dress. Somebody needed to take that spot.
Tip, that was a long time ago.
Long time ago. I'm still shell shocked between Trevor, Mo Harkless.
Why that commenter bringing up old shit?
Right. The Dark
Avery
Knight.
Avery Bradley.
The Dark Knight, Avery Bradley. That's old shit.
That really wasn't a very good team that they put together last year. I mean, on short notice, they didn't have a ton to play with, but it was, if you look back at it, it wasn't.
I'm pretty sure I tweeted in December.
We got new wheels on the car, baby. We got new wheels.
I think I tweeted in December of last season that team was going to go, you know, was better defensively on paper than the team that went to the bubble.
You remember when I was saying we don't care about your old takes, Alex?
That's right.
Please,
no, I'm just saying, that's Harry right now is one on that list. I told you so, Alex.
Alex, you do a bunch of podcasts with me. You're gonna get talked into every iteration of Heat team that comes along. I'm talking you into all of them. So just get ready.
G tried to convince me that, you know, Goran Dragic was gonna be fine. I was like, bro, what are you talking about?
I was kind of right. I'm not a lie.
No, he was.
I was kind of right.
They made the finals, and he was their leading scorer.
You're no, I'm talking about the year after that. When you were trying to convince me that, they don't need a point guard. Goran Dragic is fine.
I did say that.
Did you see Fernando's comment here? Alf couldn't fit in them shorts. I like that one.
If they have extra pockets, I'm down. At least six.
All right, one more here from Derek Sigger. We're going to take another one here if anybody wants to contribute on the Super Chat. Oh, my God. Who could be the perfect front court partner next to Bam? After BG's done. Yurt Stokes or we have a Jurt. Is that Jurt L Stokes, reference?
Stoked for Stokes.
Stoked for Stokes. That's those another gag
times.
Here.
This is a tough one.
On Heat Twitter. All right, we're going to take one more. Anybody want to throw in on the Super Chat here? We'll close the loop on this. We appreciate Tiffany and Alf.
That last Super Chat comment. Yeah. If you watch the Heat on that 6-game winning streak, the four guys, their top four guys, Bam, Lowry, Jimmy, and who am I missing? Hero. Yeah. Hero. Like those guys, when they all were healthy, were putting up like 85 points a game, 90 points a game between the four of them. And all they needed was one other guy to roll out of bed and give them 12 points. Like Deadman, Strus, Duncan, Caleb, like any, the tertiary guys just had to give them a little something. And that is the blueprint for this team to go forward. Everybody go. And one of the things you notice, everybody play defense. Like, I have been talking trash about Max Strus' defense all season. Max Strus was locked down, was ridiculous. And I'm not talking about just one-on-one. He's always been a good one-on-one defender. Team defending, he's been really good lately. He hasn't been getting lost. Like, sometimes I'm like, Max, what are you watching? Like, are there cartoons in the media room? Like, why are you not paying attention to the game? He has been stellar defensively. And everybody who stepped on the court has done their job defensively. And the blueprint for them to win is for that to happen, the defense to hold up, those four guys to give you 80 to 90 points, and somebody else just show up. If it ain't Duncan, it needs to be Max. If it ain't Max, it needs to be Caleb. If it ain't Caleb, it needs to be Vincent. And then you're probably going to get dust off Victor Oladipo a game or two here during the playoffs. And to me, that is the way they're going to keep that six-game winning streak, that momentum going, because that is the blueprint going forward.
All right. I also think that there's going to be nights when it's not the fifth guy, but it's also one of the four kind of goes above their season average in a way. Like, I think there's going to be a series. Right. There's going to be a series where Tyler averages like 27. Right. That seems the other likely piece. And that's why I think we're talking about this last year's team. Like, this team has way more avenues than even that bubble team had, in my opinion. Like, Jimmy was just asked today if, like, the comparison, and he quickly, like, just did not want to compare the two at all. But I don't think they're comparable. Like, just because they went to the finals and they were a good team, like, this team is better defensively, and they have way more avenues offensively than they had at that team.
All right. I want to thank everybody from Heatbeat, from Tiffany, Alf, and Giancarlo for joining us tonight. And thanks to Manny for producing. Just so we have something for the I told you so's, okay? Just no explanation here, okay? Just one word or one sentence answer to this question. How far do the Miami Heat get this postseason? Giancarlo?
All the way to the top, baby. Heat in five.
Alf?
NBA Finals.
Tiffany?
Yeah, Finals.
Alex?
Guts.
What you here for, Troppy? It's finals above.
I don't believe. I could tell.
Finals. I had to think about it for a second. At the end of the day, if they're not in the finals. At the end of the day, if they're not in the finals, we will hold them accountable.
Oh, wow.
Brady.
I'm going to be that guy that brings up his old takes. I said Suns Heat finals before the season. That they lose in the finals, they get finals.
Greg.
But you say they're going to lose in the finals, Brady?
Before the season. Before the season.
Right? I'd rather be happy.
We're
going to be happy. The Heat are going to get one. This is the team since day one. We've said there's something special about this group. Even in the preseason, we were all saying it. Not just the sunshine pumper, but all of us were saying it's something special about this team. And I know y'all knew that this is what I was going to do anyway. So Heat and five in the finals. Over.
The Suns are specialer, though.
Heat to the finals, Suns in six.
Wow.
But I don't know if I can tolerate the Eddie Johnson thing if that happens. Man. So that's
also Chris Paul's leg don't fall off in the second round. That's
a fraud, by the way. G told me that Heat would lose to the Celtics.
Tyler will outplay Devin Booker the Celtics in the finals. Listen to what I'm telling y'all.
About this change, baby.
We have it on video right now. Perfect video. Listen to me. I'm so old and washed with my terminology.
Clip it.
Tyler will outplay Devin Booker in the NBA Finals this season if they make it that far.
Leif, we've been saying it for a year. Devin Booker scoring, but his wins low.
This is true.
You know what? We're closing there. We've been saying it for years. That's it. That is the perfect synopsis to this episode. Thanks to everybody who donated tonight. Thanks to everybody for joining. Thanks to Manny for producing. This was fun. Maybe we'll do it again. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.